we're going to jump in this thing. Amen. Lord, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. You've been good, you've been kind, and you've just been awesome, Father God. So I pray, oh God, you have your way today, Father God. As your word goes forth with power, with boldness and clarity, Father God, I pray that at the end, Father God, that you will be glorified, oh God. That the enemy will be terrified. Your children will be justified, oh God. And you have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As everyone knows that's here today, probably that we're jumping into a new relationship series called Nobody's Fool, amen. And God gave me this title in the midst of just trying to get something together for a relationship, because I feel at some point in our life we've all played the fool in a relationship, amen. Either we were the fooler or the foolee, but somebody got played the fool at some point in time, amen. So we want to get to what God has for us in our relationship, and where do we go as a relationship and as we grow. So real quick, I'm asking you to stand for your feet. One scripture, if you have your Bible, you can look it up. I have it on the screen, 1 Corinthians 6 and 16. I got the Message Bible, so I got my ghetto version up here. And it says this real quick. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact.
Amen.
If you don't mind, shake somebody's hand and say, let's talk about sex. Yeah. Shake about two people's hands and say, let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex.
Yeah. That's why the children had to leave this week. They're not allowed to be in here. Amen. We got to have some grown folk talk. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, but we must have some grown folk talk. Let's talk about sex. The next 4 to 6 weeks, I will be dedicating an entire series to relationships. I don't know. It might go 6 weeks. We got a lot to talk about. And as your pastor, it's my job to do what? Take the Bible that was written in the first century or before and bring it to the 21st century so it makes sense. That's my job. So we will cover several issues, but not limited to being single. What does being single look like in the 21st century? How am I courting? How am I dating? What does that look like now that we are in a whole new time and outside of Bible days? We'll talk about if I'm a single, how do I work on keeping myself, abstaining myself from sex until I get married? Amen, like some walls. If you're married, how do I love my wife like Christ loved the church? How do I do that? If I'm a wife, how do I honor my husband and give him glory? How do we love each other? And what does submission look like in a godly marriage? We're going to talk about divorce, adultery, even masturbation. Is it wrong? Is it right? Molestation. So many things that we need to cover because it affects who we are.
Yeah.
This will not be easy, but I'm asking God to help me to be graceful in this teaching and help me as I move and I grow as a pastor, as a Bible student, and help you guys as God begins to move through this whole series. And as I was telling Lady Thomas last night, that as I was getting this together, I said, we need to have something called the emergency room.
Yep.
So after service, because we're going to be talking about all kind of stuff, if something opens up in you, I don't want you to go home messed up.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If something cuts and it hits you in your heart, hey, Lady Thomas, Pastor, I need to come talk to y'all for a second. We'll be right here to talk with you because we want to make sure that you're becoming the whole person God has created you to be. Amen.
Amen.
And doing this, sometimes we got to deal with past issues. A lot of it will be past issues that we have to deal with as we go through this whole series. So we're starting off dealing with, of course, the topic, let's talk about sex. We must understand that sex, lovemaking, is only one way that is honored by God, and that's with husband and wife. That's how God designed it. It's only honored when husband and wife. The only time that sex is dishonorable in marriage is through adultery. That's the only time that God says, you know what, this is not how I designed it. Other than that, it's all good in the hood. But when I'm single, fornication, homosexuality, any type of sex committing outside of my singleness is like committing spiritual adultery against God. Yeah. Have you ever been with somebody and you gave them all your money, all your time, all your heart? You gave everything to them and then you find out they're cheating on you? It's crushing, right? It breaks our hearts, right? Well, that's how God feels about us when we're in our singleness. That it's me and you, and I've helped you get to somewhere. I love you. And because he can talk to you a certain way and make you feel good, you forget about me. Because her shape's so bad, God, I gotta put you on the back burner.
Good.
The brothers look like it depend on her shape, Pastor. It do depend on the shape. Look at the brothers looking at me. They like, it depend. I don't know. But this is how God is looking at it. It's messed up because it gets us to a point that God is looking like, I love you.
Yeah.
And I'm building up our relationship. We're growing spiritually. We're growing. You're maturing and all these things. And 10 minutes a mess up everything we built up.
Wow. 10 minutes.
Help us.
My God.
Wow.
I've been helping you with your rent.
Jesus.
Helping you raise your kids.
Mm.
Loving you.
Right.
We've been growing. We've been going through this thing. And because he say the right thing, you just forget about me?
Wow.
See, this is what God was helping me with this. I prepared this. It was like, we act like God don't have a heart.
Mm.
Remember, we are created in his image.
Amen.
So if he created us with a heart, where do you think that thought of a heart even came from?
Right.
So God has a heart. It's just grateful that God's heart is much bigger than us. Amen.
Yeah.
Like she read earlier, that he has not dealt with us as our sins so deserve.
As
he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. If he dealt with us how we deserve to be dealt with, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
But God's heart is so much bigger than yours. And don't get it twisted. As a pastor, not perfect. I know in my own life, I've pained God many a times. I've pained. I all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I'm thankful, even though I pained him, it's proof that his blood still works.
Yes.
It's proof that he's still saving. It's proof that he's still healing. It's proof that he's still delivering. Because we've messed up, and he gets us in the right place to get it right.
Amen.
So the reason we are talking about sex is because I feel this is where Satan tends to fool most of us.
Mm-hmm.
He messes up there. And a relationship cannot be just based on sex or it won't last.
Yeah.
That cannot be the primary goal of the relationship. It won't last. Proof of it is that no matter how good she look, I know athletes that have the bomb house, got all the money, got everything they need, got a bad woman, and he's still cheating and watching porn.
Wow.
Why is that? Because it is something that can't be fulfilled with just sex.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking, my wife was talking, and I was talking about Jay-Z, and it's like, dang, y'all realize that Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 35 and over.
The baddest.
Eric Benet cheated on Halle Berry. Amen. For everybody 35 and older, Eric Benet, y'all remember he cheated on Halle Berry. And it got me thinking, because men be like, if I had her, I wouldn't do nothing. If I had her, it'd be on and popping. I'm with this, I'm with that, I'm with it. Whatever she need, I got her. That's Beyonce. I ain't moving. But guess what? She flawed too.
Right.
She got bad attitude too.
Right.
And when her mouth get the yickety-yacking, and talking crazy, and watch this disrespecting you, and now you don't feel any honor, because men, if we don't feel honor, we don't want sex. Yeah, that's for us. Yeah. We got to be honored. We got to be respected. If I'm not respected, I don't want to be with you. It ain't too many things that can turn a man off, but disrespect, it'll turn a man off. So when her get the mouth, get the yickety yacking and talking crazy, no bad, no matter how bad her shape is, you don't want to hear that.
That's it.
I don't want to be bothered with her. I don't care how cute she is. I don't care what she can do.
That's it.
Amen.
Well, go ahead and preach.
Because I need to be respected as a man.
That's it. That's
good. So the enemy trips us up and he starts fooling us with sex. So the enemy trips us up. He messes up because while we have situations where our brother can be so good in the bed, he messed up your head.
Mm.
Yeah. He messed up your head. Yeah. Now you burning clothes, slashing tires, putting sugar in his tank, throwing bricks, acting a plum fool, stalking him. Because of his bed, because of the bedroom.
Yeah.
You fighting people because of the bedroom.
Yeah.
When this person never loves you how God needed you to be loved to begin with.
Yeah. Help us.
Yeah. You knew he wasn't no good.
Mm-hmm.
Your girlfriends knew he wasn't no good.
Right.
But you slide and slide with it anyway. And now you become hypnotized because of the bed. And now you've been turned out. So now even I might want to let you go, I can't because of this feeling you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
It's messed me up mentally. I'm hypnotized now. I'm like a walking dead. I'm like a zombie. Knowing he ain't no good. Knowing this is not going to work. But because of a feeling, I'm trapped. Yeah, if we're going to be nobody's fool, we first have to learn, stop doing foolish things.
Amen.
Well, how can I stop being a fool, Pastor Help? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 1, we're going to start at Proverbs 1. Check this out. This is the New King James Version. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to the ghetto version. Y'all looking like I'm crazy. Let's go to the ghetto version. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom and learning. Wow. Can I suggest to you that the first step into stop being foolish is learning how to bow down to God? Because we make the same mistakes over and over. We are living examples of the definition of insanity. We try the same thing and expect different results. We keep going the same way in the same way, and we expect it to be different, but it turns out to be the same, especially in our relationships. I'm going to just change this. I can change him. No, you can't. I can change her. No, you can't. See, the beautiful thing about a relationship as you grow in God, realize that they're their own person. And I can't change them, but I can help them grow. And it's my job to encourage them to speak into their life and see things. And guess what? When they don't hear it, I pray for them.
Amen.
We must understand that we have to stop being foolish things. But I cannot do this unless I first learn to bow down with God.
Amen.
I am not a motivational speaker. I'm a pastor. So no matter what I'm saying over this series, first thing you got to know is you got to learn how to bow down to God. You got to know Jesus is Lord. He died for my sins. He paid for them with his blood. And now he's giving me power through his Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables me the power to stick to this thing. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't do it. It ain't a 10 steps to celibacy. It's none of that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So we start bowing down to God. Check this out. We didn't know he ain't for us by the first date. Amen. Like some hoes. If we start bowing down to God first, the conversation will tell us you ain't the one.
Amen.
No. For the first date, you want to Netflix and chill?
Right.
The first date? Why am I going to let you come to my house? Right. I don't even know you. People crazy. People stalking. I ain't got time for you to show up at my house anytime unexpected. Why you want to come to my house?
Right.
What if I got children?
Right.
Why do you need to see my children? Are you marriage material? Do we need to be married? Are we even talking about marriage? I don't need to introduce you to these kids because you don't need to know them. First date, do you know Jesus?
Amen.
Do you know him? No, yeah, for real. Do you know him?
Amen.
What church you go to? Are you saved?
Yeah.
Speak in tongues right now. Do it. Let me hear you. I want to hear every tongue you got right now. Let me hear it. I'm playing, but I'm serious at the same time. Because what are your goals in life? I know if I bow down to God, I know by the first day, this ain't going to work. Matter of fact, look, I pay for my food, you pay for yours. I get an Uber. Don't even worry about it, baby. Don't take me. I get an Uber. I got the app. That get me home just fine. Ain't no point of us even coming. And God bless you. I bid you goodbye. This ain't going to work. But because we don't ask no questions, but hop in the bed. Now it's all messed up. Now we look up. Now we got children. And now we can't get along. We in disagreements because we know nothing about each other but about how to make each other feel good. And now we have a child. So now I'm mad at you. I'm calling you a fool. You a fool. And they a fool. And everybody a fool. But God hit me with this. Don't be calling the person you lay down with a fool. It's a reflection of your intelligence. Don't call the person you marry a fool. It's a reflection of your intelligence. I don't know what I was watching, but the mama was on the phone with the daddy going off on him, cussing him out. The teenage boy was sitting there, and he was, you this, you that, you ain't this, blah, 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 and hung up the phone, and the boy had to ask the question, said, mama, if daddy that bad, why you sleep with him?
Help. That's good.
What could she say? We must understand that we have to learn what wisdom is. Wisdom is my note taker. You want to write this down. Wisdom is this. Wisdom is the desire to live a God life, a godly life in a world that doesn't know God.
Amen.
You got to have a desire to live a God-led life. God has to lead your life, but you have to have the desire for that. That's what wisdom is. This is what this whole bowing down to God thing is. Because if I'm bowing down to God, it keeps my flesh from rising up.
Amen.
Yeah. All our flesh can rise up at any time. Nobody's exempt. All our flesh can rise up, but bowing down to God in prayer and study and work, all these things help me keep my flesh on the back burner.
Amen.
And guess what? When I'm bowing down, I make room for God.
Amen.
Yeah. When I'm bowing down, I make time to pray.
Amen.
Yeah. When I'm bowing down, I make time to study.
Amen.
Yeah. When I'm bowing down, and ain't no man, can't no woman, can't nothing compete with God because I make him number one. It's a job. You don't get it twisted. It's some effort. You got to make God number one because you have things fighting for your time and all your talents and all these things. I'll give you an example. Even bowing down this morning, we're getting ready for church. Daniel got ready. He's up. He's excited. He's ready to get to moving and doing everything. He's ready. Then he jumps on the game. And he jumps in, wants to play 2K this morning. So I come and talk to him. I said, look here, check this out, man. Ain't nothing wrong with 2K, but you woke up. Have you thanked God this morning? Have you spent any time with prayer? He's like, Daddy, why I want to come pray with you? I said, I already prayed this morning. I did mine this morning before you got up. But before you go playing the game and doing everything, thank God for being alive.
Amen.
Thank God for church today.
Amen.
Pray for your friends. Pray for children's church. Ask the destiny and them be able to teach and the kids understand. Ask that we all good or behave. Ask God to continue to flow in your life and do all that first. And then go play the game. Ain't nothing wrong with the game. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't get it twisted. I beat you in 2K. Ain't nothing wrong with it. but it has its place.
Amen.
I got to teach you to handle business first.
Amen.
Thank God for who he is and what he's done because none of us are promised tomorrow.
Amen.
See, when I bow down to God and put him in his proper place, then my joy can't be stolen. Because I realized the joy that I got, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away.
Amen.
It's priceless because God gave it to me.
Amen.
So we must understand that we must bow down to who God and who he is. Real quick, let me slide over to this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 and 31. A couple of verses in Genesis. Look at this real quick. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Pause. It's only one way I know to be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Yeah. To be fruitful and multiply, it means that God created sex for them to grow and multiply the earth. For people that want to put homosexuality into the Bible, I believe it's debunked in the beginning. You can't be fruitful and multiply without having a man and a woman.
Amen.
That's the end of the argument right there. The two shall become one, a man and a woman, because if God did it any other way, the population ceased to exist. So we see at the beginning, we must understand what? That God created sex as a gift to married people. Then 31, look at this. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything God created was good. So that means even sex was good.
Amen.
Somebody should give God a high five. When that one said, God, right? Oh, we're looking out, God. That's good in God's eyes. In the right context. See, all the church, all this time, we treat sex like it is just something bad. You better not have it. You better not do it. You better not. Bet. And give no explanation to the kids. You just better not have it. And then when we do, we want to say, it's better to marry than to burn. What? You must quote the scripture right.
Amen.
It's better to marry than to burn with passion. So I'm not saying it's better to marry than to burn because I don't want you to marry somebody just because you can't control your loins.
Yeah.
Because if I marry them just because I can't control myself, what are we basing our marriage on? It's about the relationship is again based on sex. No love, no commitment, no honor. We don't understand each other. All we know is we make each other feel good.
Yeah.
And the church has done some foolish things, I believe, when just because somebody had a baby, y'all make them get married. Where is that in the Bible? Where is that at? If we would have got married when Destiny was born, we would have been divorced before Destiny was born. If we would have gotten married before Destiny was won, we would have been divorced before Destiny was won. You understand what I'm saying? Because none of us were ready for that. Yes, we had sex. We had a child out of wedlock. We made a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, she wasn't a mistake. She is the blessing from God.
Yeah.
But we did something as parents. Children are a blessing, amen. Regardless of how they were born, that's us. That ain't them.
Right.
They are a blessing, amen.
Right.
So, but if we would have got married, neither one of us was married for ready for marriage.
Uh-huh.
I sure wasn't married, and neither was her. But if we would have tried to keep up with church tradition, you know you need to go and get married now. Y'all didn't have a kid now. Y'all know y'all need to get married. What? That's not wisdom. God is trying to help us. If you get married just to eliminate a lust issue, the lust issue won't eliminate.
Amen.
Right. Amen. If you get married just because, hey, I don't want to fornicate no more. That's my only reason. I want to get married. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Yeah. It might work a little bit because you're having sex, but it's not going to hold you. You need something to hold you and keep you. And that's when God comes in to wrap around us, keep his word, on our heart. Keep me bowed down in prayer. So Satan, our enemy, has declared himself to be like God. Scripture says, he says, I will be like the Most High God. So an enemy wants to be like God. The only problem is he realizes he's a created being. So he can't be like God because God created him. So if he's created, that means what? That he can't take credit for things that are already created. Because God's already created them, so he can't take credit. He can't take credit for childbirth. God created that. The whole experience, the couples coming together, the baby being born, he can't take credit for that. So the enemy says, well, since I can't take the credit from God for what he's already done, I can take credit if I change how it's viewed. I can't take credit for creating a human, but I can take credit for defiling one. Yeah, that's how the enemy works. So look at this. The marriage bed to God is holy. The Bible says that it is undefiled, which means what happens in the marriage bed is cool with God.
Amen.
It's undefiled. God looks at it as holy and pure. But see, look at what the enemy does. He gives us fornication, prostitution, homosexuality, pornography, child pornography, molestation, orgies, all these weird and crazy versions of sex. And now we think sex is bad because of what the enemy does. No, he has perverted it. God perfected it. Don't miss that. Because of his perversion has messed up how we understand sex. So now because we're raised in this society, in this world, we got to unlearn what we've been learned and taught. Because God's way is perfect. So we haven't been good stewards over the gift God has given us. So he's been able to run rampant. I'm going to say this, and I might say it every week. We got to be careful because the same devil that got the single ladies wet have the married women dry. Y'all ain't ready to have church with me. The same devil that got the single ladies wet got the married women dry. The single women can't control themselves. They hot and heavy. And the married woman, like, I can't stand him. No one give him none. It's the same devil that's messing up everybody's relationship. So until you figure that out, you ain't able to move nowhere. It's the same devil playing the same tricks on each team.
Amen.
So we got to be careful.
Please.
It's our job to teach.
Oh my God.
Not only for ourselves to understand it, but also for our children.
Yeah.
I looked this up. Check this out. The most popular searches in Google up until the present day. And I had the top 10 searches in Google. Three of the top 10 were pornographic sites. Totaling, I don't know if y'all can believe this number, 978 million searches since Google started. This is just three sites. 978 million searches. That's just in the top 10. That ain't nothing else. Our culture is becoming sex driven. The shows, the movies, the music. And we must understand that our culture knows sex sells. So they promote it so much, they don't care about the effect it's going to have on our youth. They don't care about the effect that it's going to have on these kids as they grow up. When we were younger, if y'all remember this, I ain't trying to date myself, I don't think I'm too old, but when the radio came on, the songs had to have a radio version. No matter how raunchy they were, they wouldn't allow them to say certain words. To get radio play, you had to change the lyrics. No matter what the word is, the song comes to mind is Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Ain't Nothing But a Gangsta Party. They had a radio version for that. So what you heard, those lyrics, it might have been a cuss word behind it, but you didn't know it because they changed the lyrics to the song. Nowadays, they just blank the word out. Kids ain't stupid. If you said all these lewd acts and get to one word, they understand everything. So even our culture has changed that they just blank words out. And the kids are so smart, they just sing the regular word anyway. If their parents ain't around, they know it. They know it. I'm like, dang, look how much has changed. This shows me that they don't care about our future. The enemy is trying to terrorize not only us, but our kids. This is real talk. And we're going to deal with this later. And we're going to talk about the masturbation, all this crazy stuff. I remember being in the barbershop. This is real talk. And I had a conversation with the barbers. We was talking. And I was like, if I could go back and change one thing in your life, what would you change? I asked the people, you know what I mean? People said certain things, whatever. I said, if I could change anything in my life from being a youth to now, I would have never watched pornography. Because that's the battle that men face and deal with. And see, the thing about the enemy is that once you get hooked on something, he don't tell you that you can't just quit it. You see what I'm saying? He don't tell you that you thought that it was just something you were doing until you tried quitting. And then you realize, hold on, I'm in a fight. Yeah. I'm in a battle. Right. And think about how many young kids now have cell phones. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one kid that got somebody else in their life that don't care about what they're doing, not giving them any values. Right. Look what's on my phone. Yeah. And showing it to your kids. So I told them all, one of my primary jobs in life is to keep that out of my son's life by any means necessary. Yeah. If I can get him to his adulthood without viewing that stuff or not having to deal with that, oh my God, I'm going to feel accomplished as a parent. Because it's crazy now. They have so much access, way more than we did. So we must understand that we have to care about our relationship because it leads up to us helping our children.
Amen. Good.
So the enemy, sex leads to what? Unwanted pregnancies, abortions. Anybody that's had one, God has forgiven you. I'm not here, never here to beat you up, here to lift you up. I'm getting naked so y'all can get naked, amen. I'm trying to be for real with y'all as I can be so y'all can be for real, amen. So we can't come to church and be fake. That's the worst thing to do. If the church is a place to heal, to be delivered, to be set free, we can't come in here and be fake. We got to be real, amen. So if you had an abortion, God has forgiven you, whatever the case may be. But it's crazy because sex comes with all these things that we don't even think about. The pregnancy scares. Everybody been through those. Praise God. Those are scary. Have your heart dropping. What was I doing, God? We ain't praying like we ain't never prayed before when we got a pregnancy scare. I'm going on the 30 to 72 hour fast right now. Lord, forgive me. Please don't let her be. Or don't let me be if it's her. It's crazy. But we deal with all this crazy stuff. And the enemy messes us up because we go through these things and these emotions and did all this stuff. And then we have a hard time forgiving ourselves because of guilt and because of shame. So now the enemy has tricked us in our mind and beats us up and beats us up. Why you do that? You think God love you? God don't love you. You don't love God. You don't care. And then we beat ourselves up when God has forgiven us and wants us to move forward. But we hold our own self back sometimes. And this happens because we are not bowing down to God, but using the world's logic. Think about this. Instead of practicing abstinence and not having sex, we'd rather have it and kill the baby. I don't think y'all heard what I said. Instead of practicing abstinence and not having it God's way, we'd rather have it and kill the baby. Think of how the world has twisted our thinking. Doesn't even make sense. But because of the world and everything, that's why the Bible tells us what? Romans 12 and 2, do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Amen.
Then you'll be able to know what's God's will, what is pleasing, and what is perfect, what God wants you to do. But we have to be able to change the way we think.
Amen.
So the purpose of this series is when we learn to glorify God, not only with our spirit, but with our bodies.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back to the word. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12 says this. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All right. Y'all get that? I don't know if you got it. I'm going to go to the ghetto version again anyway. Make sure y'all got it. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean it's spiritually appropriate.
Amen. Good.
If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my own whims. Woo. Yeah, I'm not playing games. Yeah, God is the forgiver of sins. Don't get it twisted. God forgives you. He heals you, sets you free, all those things. We must get to a point that we don't abuse his grace.
Amen.
Because we get caught up and then we end up abusing the grace that God has given us. Just because something is legal doesn't mean I should do it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's from my God on my heart, people. Yeah.
Amen.
God knows my heart. He know my heart. He do know your heart. That's a scary thing to say. Please don't say that. Because he know if you really don't want to do it before you are to do it. Before you say that, he know you really didn't want to do it anyway. So he know your heart. So don't say God know my heart because he know your heart. Amen. I don't like that. I don't want y'all saying that. God does know our hearts. But check this out. Because something is legal doesn't mean I should partake in it. Because cigarettes is legal doesn't mean I should do it. Why? Because it hurts my body. Smoking weed is legal in some parts of the country, but that means I should do it because it gets me high. It takes me to another state of mind that's not like what God would want me to have. Prostitution is legal in some parts of the country, but just because it is don't mean I should do it. Going to the strip club is legal, but just because it is doesn't mean I should do it. So we must understand that sin always produces a loss in our life. Sin will never add value to your life in any way, shape, or form. Sin never adds value. It always subtracts and leaves us with regrets. Notice I didn't say sin didn't feel good, because sin feels good. That's why I sin. Never said that, but it never adds value to your life. It will eventually hurt you. And the enemy's job is to get us so tangled in sin that we're not fighting anymore. Yeah, that's his job, to get you to the point where you just give up, you lay down, let sin have his way with you. He wants sin to master us. But if I live my life doing whatever I feel is appropriate outside the will of God, I let myself to be mastered by sin. And there is no sin more enslaving than sexual sins.
Yeah,
that's facts. That's facts. Check this out. Verse 13, for the stomach, food's for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What Paul is trying to create to the people, communicate to the people of Corinth and all the people in New Creation Church today, that food is for our stomachs. We agree that food is for our stomachs. I think we all can agree there. There's no doubt that food was made for our stomachs, and we all need food to live. We can all agree that we all need food to live. But just because we need food to live doesn't mean I should eat every kind of food that's ever made.
Yeah.
Amen. Like some laws. Yeah. I just went to the doctor and they didn't tell me I was almost pre-diabetic. I didn't know. I went back to the doctor and they said, "Yeah, your levels didn't drop so much." And I'm like, "Did y'all communicate that with me?" Oh, it's time to change diet. I can't play with that stuff, amen. Scared the mess out of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad, thank God, that my levels dropped. I didn't even know it. Praise God. But to know that I was that close, I'm like, we got to change some things around here. Amen. But check this out, though. We have several diseases that are triggered by eating. Got diabetes, what I was talking about. High blood pressure. Arteries clogged in our hearts sometimes. Eating too much food. All these things happen because of what we eat. So just because I can't eat what I want to eat doesn't mean I should eat what I can't eat.
Right.
I don't think I can say that again. If the scripture is telling me I shouldn't put stuff in my body, any kind of food, because there are some consequences, what happens if I choose to indulge in sexual activities?
Amen.
There will be some consequences as well. Amen. We talked about a few, the STDs, the unwanted pregnancies, the abortions, all these things. But there's something I left out, because at the end of verse 13, Paul says this, check this out, that our bodies aren't just for food, and our bodies aren't just to indulge in sexual sin, but they're to bring honor with God. The same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, the same power God gives you in this body. We must understand that we have glorified bodies once we get to heaven. So we need to let God have his way in our bodies. But then Paul dropped this bomb on us in verse 15. I love this. I got to go back to the ghetto version because I love it. It says this. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I sure hope not. Woo. Paul is implying to us that we are believers in Christ, that once we give our life to Christ, once we come down and say, "God, I want you to be my Savior." If you found him in your womb, you was at home, or some people get saved in jail. I don't know where you got saved, but whenever you decided Jesus is the Lord of my life, he's not just Lord of your eternal salvation, he's Lord over your body.
Amen.
Yeah. So if I decide to go to the whorehouse, it's me, Jesus, and the whores in the whorehouse. If I decide to go to the strip club, it's me, Jesus, and the strippers in the strip club.
Amen.
If I decide to call Dr. Tyrone or let him slide in my DMs and go meet him at the hotel, it's me, Tyrone, Jesus, in the hotel. He's implying that wherever we take our bodies, God never leaves, because I made him Lord of my body. So wherever I go, Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming with me.
Oh, wow.
Wow. The apostle's trying to get the people to understand that you got to get your body to a place, because it feels good for you don't mean it's good for you.
Amen.
The master means he's the master of your life, your soul, and your body.
Amen.
Then Apollo drops this. We come back to verse 16. Check this out. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in the scriptures, the two shall become one. Mm-hmm. It's not skin on skin, but that's what the culture teaches us. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with having sex. Y'all ain't getting no diseases, y'all ain't had no babies, y'all good. Y'all went and had a good time. Went to go hang out. No, the Bible is clear that it's more than skin on skin. And as much physical, it's as much spiritual mystery. So when God designed sex, it was for a husband and wife. Yeah, it was for husband and wife. And he's saying that the two shall become one flesh. So your souls are tied to one another once you decide to have sex. Every time you have sex with somebody, a little bit of your soul go in them and a little bit of their soul get in you. Because how God designed it. He can't take it back. So every time, so you wonder why your mood swings have been crazy. Because she crazy. You wonder why you're going all over the place and you don't know what's going on. Because she crazy. And you got some of that in you. You wonder why all of a sudden you depressed. Because he left a little depression in you last time he went there with you. Now you depressed and you don't feel good. No wonder why you don't want to get up and you don't want to wake up. And you feeling how you feeling. Because he deposited that in you. We must understand that all of us, if we have sex before marriage, we have unhealthy soul ties. What is a soul tie? It is when our souls come together and become one because we have sexual relationships before God decided for us to, before we decided to get married. So you need God to be delivered from everything you had before you got married. Yeah, yeah. Just we grown here. We grown folks. So just natural women before they get married. You've been with two or three guys or something of that nature. If you're not a virgin, most of them been with two or three guys or something like that. Let's be real. We're grown here. It's not your first rodeo. We got to try before we buy, Pastor. Yeah, we got to try before we buy. I got to make sure this is what I want before I say I do. I just got to make sure. You know what I'm saying, Pastor. Then you got men and sometimes women. Maybe you watch porn in your younger day. Then now you look up. You lost your virginity by the time you're 14 or 15 years old. So now by the time you're 18 or 21, you're almost in a sexual prime. You're having a lot of sex, and now you're almost 30, and now y'all decide to get married, and then you look up, and you like, what is wrong with this marriage? It's crazy. We ain't getting along. It might be the 35 people that's in bed with y'all. Because some of your soul was left everywhere and some of that soul has been put in you. And now y'all coming together under God, what God wants and God loves. Mm-hmm. But y'all got a mess I never dealt with before we got married. So now all these people are in the bed with us. Mm-hmm. And we wondering why we got issues. That's why it's a blessing to wait until your marriage. Amen. Because nothing can compare to that. It's not fair. Check this out. She's been with one or two guys. You've been with 30 women. So no way she can compete with that.
You hear me?
Yeah. Look up. Yeah, that's why it's important to talk about the sexual past and who you've been with before we get married and get to move in this thing. Because I need to know what I'm dealing with. Because I might not have had that many experiences with you. And now you done had 30, 40 women. And I'm sorry, but I can't twerk like Delicious. I'm sorry. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to. It don't move like that. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. I don't know how to do what Cinnamon did. I don't know all those tricks of the trade. I wasn't raised like Cinnamon. I don't know what she did. So now he used to this and that and that.
That's real.
And now I'm comparing you to women. And check this out. God dropped this in my spirit. It's not fair to compare a covenant to sin. How do you compare a covenant with God called holy to sin? You can't compare a covenant to sin. But because I got all these issues and all these different women and she don't perform like them, now I'm drawn to something else. Instead of talking about it and try to get healthy and try to get healed before we move forward in this marriage. Yeah. I'm going to cover more of that. I'm going to cover more of that when we get to the single thing and what we're doing before marriage. We're going to go all kinds of places. Can't let too many cats out the bag. But that's why we got to be careful. Because the person you are attached to, sometimes it can take years to break that soul tie. Yeah. It can take years to break it.
Yeah.
And look at the era we in now. Now people, social media, they can message you. They can DM you at any time. And mess up your whole life. Yeah. Some of y'all are too nasty in the 90s to be on social media. Too nasty in the 90s. Too nasty in the early 2000s to be on social media.
That's real.
I don't need you to find me. You're in my contacts in my phone. I don't need you to contact me, praise God. I need you to get somewhere. I don't need to give you access to me. I was too nasty back then. You were too nasty. I don't even think about that. So we got to be careful in what we're doing. So we're about to get real deep. And I'm going to give you the secret. I'm almost done. And I'm going to give you the secret to avoid sexual temptation. Y'all ready? I'm about to get real deep. Y'all ready for this? All right, verse 18, Paul gives us the key right there. Check this out. Flee sexual immorality. Period.
Period.
Y'all miss y'all shout.
That's good.
Y'all miss y'all shout.
Yeah.
Before I get any other part of that verse, flee sexual immorality. Period.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what it means to flee?
Yeah.
Say it means the what?
Run.
It means to run. Like a chicken with your head cut off. Like somebody's trying to attack you or kidnap you or abduct you. You must run as soon as temptation becomes evident.
Yeah.
You got to get the book.
That's
a light jog. It's a run. You got to flee.
Because
the Bible says that there's no temptation that is overtaking you such as common to man. Which means that all of us will experience this temptation. All of us will experience it on some point. It's common to man. But then he says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. This messes me up, because God is so good that even in temptation, he don't want us to fail.
Right.
Temptation is part of the world. We can't get away from it, but he don't want us to fail. Check out what he says. He said, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape for you that you may be able to bear it.
Yeah.
So God is so good that when temptation happens, he's providing a way of escape for me. Problem is, we ain't looking for the way. We ain't looking for the escape. It's there. It's be a small window sometimes. You gotta look. That phone ring or something that happened real quick. That's the Holy Spirit. God, I'm trying to help you out before you make a mistake. I don't want you to have to pray them prayers after this. I don't want you to ask, Lord, please. I don't want no diseases. Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, please. I'm scared, Lord. I don't want to be prayed. I don't want to be prayed. Lord, help me. I don't want them prayers. I'm trying to provide you a way of escape right now. Take your way out.
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. To the real church. The real church somewhere over here. Amen. I praise God.
We're here. Yes.
So when you get hot and heavy, you gotta flee. Can't pray.
Amen.
Come on, baby. Let's hold hands and pray. Right. No. We're going to pray this lust spirit away right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, take the lust away out of my heart right now. Let us love on you and love. No. You can't pray that stuff away.
Amen.
You got to get up and get moving and get to booking.
Right.
Because why? It is a point with all of us that if we cross this line, we ain't going back.
Right.
That if we get past this point, it's over. The line in the sand has been drawn. If I step over that line, we're going all the way in. And God knows that.
Yes, he does.
So he says to flee. And I've given you a way of escape. Sometimes the way of escape is just running out.
Right.
That's it. I'm running to my car. I'm out. Deuces. Holler at you later. I got to go. Call my pastor. Call my first lady. How y'all doing today? Y'all doing all right? Man, just continue to pray for me. God is so good. He provided a way of escape for me today. He provided a way of escape right now. I just want to tell you thank you for telling me about that. Amen. Y'all silly. So look at the rest of the verse. We almost done. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Think about that. Paul was letting us know that sexual sin destroys us like no other sin.
My Lord.
Yeah. Why? Because it's against your own body. Because I can get into a fight, yeah, that might hurt my body in a physical sense or something, you know, or smoking a cigarette can give me cancer or something like that. Alcohol can give me alcohol, but it can hurt my body in a sense, but it doesn't hurt your body because it gets into your soul. It's a little bit deeper than just hurting your body.
Yeah.
It gets down in there. So he's letting us know that it's so intimate and entangling that it'll corrupt you on the deepest level of humanity. Yeah, and on the deepest human level, sexual sins will corrupt you. Yeah. Let's be real. We're grown here. There's no other natural feeling in the world better than sex. It's God's gift. Y'all can, amen. For married people, I know if you ain't married, but I'm just telling you it's real. It's God created it. Amen. Y'all can breathe. I know your partner ain't been in church like this. Like, pastor hitting. I told y'all, children in children's church, they're not allowed. You bring a child at your own risk. Mine over there. But it's the best natural feel. It's a gift from God. Remember I said the enemy perverted it. God perfected it.
Amen.
It's a gift from God. It's the best natural feeling. I need some awesome bros. I know was like, Pastor, you don't, I smoke crack. And that's the best, better than sex. That's from the devil. That's man-made. That ain't what God made. Amen. If the devil did, that's what it is. But no. Naturally feeling in a natural context created by God is the best feeling that we can experience, I believe, on earth as human. So we must understand that because of that, it's able to corrupt us on the deepest level. Sex will have you with a stalker. Somebody you thought was cool in the mind. You thought was okay. Now they showing up at your house. Showing up at your job. Scaring you. Restraining orders because of sex. Sex corrupts on levels that it has somebody abusing you. If I can't have you, nobody can have you. I ain't letting nobody touch you. I ain't letting nobody become part of your life. It's either me or them. And be crazy enough to kill you because they think they love you. No, they lust you. Because love wouldn't have me do nothing like that. That ain't what love is. But because I lust you and you messed me up in the bed and got me to a place in my mind and created this feeling, now I feel I can't live without you because of a feeling.
Yeah.
If we wasn't married, we shouldn't have had anyway.
Right.
How many people have died because a person thought they loved them because of sex?
Wow.
We've seen natural consequences today and we've seen the spiritual consequences. We must understand that no sin has greater potential to destroy our bodies. So in the midst of this, of all these things, we must understand that God is calling us to do what? Stay away from things that cause us to fall into sin. Which means I got to start putting up a guardrail or a fence around my life. I got to start somewhere. If I know he no good for me and he turned me on, I got to figure out a way to leave him out of my life. I can't play with that. One text turned to two. Two texts turned to three. Now I'm over your house. And now we back in the same boat that I didn't want to be in to begin with. She too fine. And you know what? And you too hot and heavy too. So if it takes me saying, you know what? We just might have to be in the church. If that's the only place we can control ourselves until we figure out what we're going to do and move on. I believe you, my wife. We got to start setting up boundaries and guardrails in our life. The Bible says this, a man with no control is like a city without walls. The Message Bible says that a man with no control is like a house without windows. If your house don't have no windows, that means everything getting in. All the mosquitoes, all the flies, all the wind, all the rain, all the snow. And that means we have no control. And God don't want us to have our lives. He set up a good life for us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed. I'm going to speak this over you from the bedroom to the bank account. Amen. He wants you to be blessed all over the place. But he wants you to do it his way. So we must understand that to get to where we need to be, we must begin to start peeling out layers of our life. Things we know about ourselves and being real with ourselves and then get to build up guardrails. Amen. Give God a praise in this place, y'all. Hallelujah. Give God a praise for what he's done. And His word, and we just thank God for his word and what he's doing.